What's up, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What's good? What's good? What's good? It's Marcus or Pink.
What's going on? It's Haz or Matt. That's what, how's everyone's weekend? That's all I gotta add. We're actually recording on Monday. Y'all have a good weekend or anything good happen? Actually, Marcus, you did for sure, actually.
Yeah, I did. They found my car. For people who are like, bro, this is my first episode of Tweet Talks. What the heck? Yeah, I got my car stolen last Friday the 14th, I think it was. But they found it, and it's not, like, ruined. Yeah, I was like, bro, this might be total. Day one, I was like, we're getting our car back in, like, 2 days. Day two, I was like, we ain't never getting our car back. This run's over. So, cool, they found it, and we just got to pay our little deductible or whatever, and then, hey, we get our car back, which is awesome. So
I'm glad they found it, bro.
Bro, I've never had my car stolen before. Like, I've had it, like, broken into, and, like, people take stuff out and all that. But, like, when you, like, wake up and you, like, go outside and you expect your car to be there and you're just like,
yeah.
Wait, what? What happened? Like, you don't want to believe it's gone. It's just like,
yeah.
It's I guess the word's traumatic. Yeah, it's an experience. Anyway.
Nightmare.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go back. Let's kick it back to Haz. Yeah, how's it going?
Oh, shit,
oh,
bro.
No.
Well, he doesn't really have anything to say this week.
Yeah, kind of a boring weekend. Nothing really happened that I care about. Bro, I had a fucking banner weekend. I really did. And we'll get more into it, but I had a banner. My Friday was great. Parrot Light came over on Friday, which was awesome. Because he's living in Connecticut, so he came to my place, and then we rode together, and we got dinner with Mars. And for the old head out there, yeah, we got KBBQ at Light's favorite place where they recognize him when we sit down, which is hilarious. I never eat KBBQ, but when that's what Paris always wants. He got it twice this weekend, actually. So he loves that place. He's got the platinum card at that place. I don't know what it is. So I drove with Light. And we met with Mars. And for all the old heads, we met up with Lane, a.k.a. Kool-Aid, the GOAT. Actual GOAT.
Goated lineup for dinner.
We do it. We try to get together once a year. And then we always say we're going to make it more frequent, and it's fucking impossible because we're all doing a million things. But it's always great to catch up with those are like my favorite guys. They really are. I mean, people who, you know, brought me up through Smash, taught me the game, and like, you know, vouched for my commentary and shit like that. So I love those guys. They're just great. Like, I mean, you guys know, listeners definitely know Mars and Light. I'm sure less of you know Lade, who's maybe the best of all of us for sure. So that was a great way to start it. We'll get into the tournaments on Saturday. What a great fucking day that was. Maybe my favorite tournament of all time happened this weekend, because I was thinking about it. I'm pretty sure Ashimo is my favorite player of all time in Ultimate that I do not know personally. Don't worry, Gavin, you're good. That I don't know personally. So you and Paris and Tyler are all safe. And Riddles and all those guys.
What happens if you get to know him?
Well, then we need to look back. I don't know who would be after. Like, not you guys, not him. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know. Hopefully someday it will happen. Ah, fuck, I meant to change my profile picture back to the one of us. Because I'm holding a Smashy, and I want to say now we both won this year, which is great. I forgot to do that shit. I'll do it after this episode. We'll talk about that tournament a lot. That was amazing. That was a great watch. Now, aside from Ashimo winning, which to me is like the best. I always watch. And I stay up super late / early because here, dude, the last sets were going on. Like, top four started at like 6:37 in the morning here. I was like, dude, I'm so fucking tired. Like, I usually kind of start knocking out when Ashimo gets knocked out or when he goes into losers and has some bad matchups. I'm like, all right, I'll go to bed. Wasn't allowed to on Sunday, Saturday. So we'll get into that. The Yankees clinched. They're in the playoffs. Couldn't be happier. I don't know, dude. I had a great fucking weekend. I really did. Everything was good. They clinched a playoff spot. They have not clinched best record in American League yet. Very soon, though, they will.
We watched
playing the Orioles this weekend, yeah. Marcus. Hmm?
We watched some pretty cool sets when we were awake for it. Me, personally, I want to shout out Rio. I'm not cutting out, am I?
Good, man. You're locked in. You're leaned in.
All right. So Rio is very good versus Luigi. I think this is the second time in a row he's beaten Raru. And it was a reverse 3-0 this time. Very impressive. I think that matchup can get pretty dicey for Diddy Kong. So I thought he played it fantastic. Me and Haz were both saying, like, when he gets momentum, when he was getting momentum in those sets, it was really, really cool. He played the matchup great once he started getting some momentum. And two wins in a row on Raru is pretty good, because that's like a top 10 type of player right now. So shouts to Rio. That was one of my favorites. Watching Akakikisu beat Aquil and Winners was crazy. The ending was pretty hilarious. A down air off the top with no kill screen. we watched that one as well. That was pretty crazy.
That was fun. That was
B was out, and she just got back and walked in and saw that, which was pretty crazy. She like loves Dragon Quest, like, so she's a fan, and it's kind of naturally making me a fan too, of like Beast Mode Paul and Akakikisu, stuff like that.
We were saying Beast Mode Paul was the best hero on the planet for like a week, and then Akakikisu just gets a win on Akola and gets third place. It's like, shit. But yeah, it's a good thing to have two really cool, awesome hero players to watch, so I'm here for it.
I was, last week, I was saying that character, I was talking about that character having a lot of value right now. So there's some even more. I don't really know. We can get into some other stuff. Obviously, Ashimo would be the main topic.
That's
good, man. He's just nasty, bro. He's just nasty.
I always said it about him, and he's like the worst nightmare of y'all top players, because I feel like there's this stereotype that comes with fighting game player characters in Smash. How they mash, how they're, you know, cheese lords, like all this bullshit that they do. Don't get me wrong, Ashimo's got some of the cleanest conversions in the game, straight up. Like some of the best offense in Ultimate, some of the best hit confirms ever. But he's got fundies, man. He really, really he does. Like, he's just
dangerous.
Yes, like putting, like, it's just ridiculous how good, and we've said it about him before, like how consistent he is in Japan with solo Ryu. Not, I play Ryu, and sometimes, oh, I play Ken and Terry a little bit. Oh, I play Kazuya. Solo fucking Ryu wins like a huge tournament. Like, what, dude? What the fuck? Like, what am I looking at here? And the way, man, the way he won the tournament. Jump air dodge through Steve, right? Well, he almost died. The kill screen, like, was it two of them in a row, back to back? The up smash from Steve just barely not killing Ryu. Lands, he's in a bad spot. Jump air dodge through Steve. Light up tilt, up air, ugh. And it's just, I've talked to Aiken so much about Ryu's up air and how fucking broken that move is, and how it's just, I don't want to say his best move, but it's definitely up there. Like, it's definitely one of his best moves for sure, which is saying a lot because he has a lot of good moves. It was just pure cinema. Like, it truly was. Like, that game five, because, bro, you know, Akola in the loser's bracket.
Yeah.
Man, picking up that momentum, picking up the steam. It's just so hard to stop. And I was like, if he loses the set, I don't. Not that I lost faith ever, obviously. Never lose faith in Ashimo. But it's just. That is the toughest player on the planet to beat right now is Akola when he's on a roll, for sure.
Yeah.
And I mean, that matchup is not easy. Oh, he dropped a couple, like, jab Shoryu he dropped, like, which is so unconventional. It's like, and that's the thing about playing these characters in these high tense pressure situations, is like, you can't drop those, because when are you going to get another chance, right? Against Akola, like, when is that going to happen?
That move is so strong.
Back air
always, bro, like, is stronger than I expect. Like, I'm always like, okay, that might kill, but it always kills.
He, like, always does, especially, I love this with Ryu, because Ken can't, because his fireball sucks, but you can do back air and turn around and Hadouken the other way and combo it, because his ghost, it's so cool looking. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
It does look cool. It does look cool when he does that.
Ashimo exploded onto the scene, in my opinion, at Invitational when he hit that sequence on Cola, if you remember. Yeah. So I think, interestingly, because when you think of Ryu and you think of Ken and you think of Kazuya and you think of Terry, out of those characters, if you had to rank them in terms of how cool their offense is, I think most of the people would put Ryu towards the bottom, especially before Ashimo. And then when he came on the scene, you're like, yeah, Ashimo can cook, though. Like, that's about it. But, like, bro, that's how he won. Like, that's my favorite thing, is like the thing that he first was known about was his offense and how he hits these crazy conversions. Killing Akola or knocking him out in that way is just, it was insanity, bro. Like, it was perfect. Like, there's so much, like, the way I love how he focused attack the wall too, focus attack backdash against the three stack Steve wall. Like, he just, I think it just really, to me, shows like how solo maining a character is going to have a ton of pain points and be really, really difficult. But I've never seen a pop off like that either. Did you? The other thing too, I know I'm all over the damn place, but come on now.
He looks exhausted.
Yes. Yeah. He doesn't show that much emotion either. He's always kind of like just chill. And that was great.
A little bit, but nothing crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good pop up for him. And then did you guys know, did you see the Hungry clicker art?
Yes. No. I learned about this because of that too. B gave me the whole explanation because she was figuring it out too, that when he streams, he uses a pigeon VTuber, and then Hungry clicker made art of a pigeon with Ryu's headband for the victory. So
that's kind of raw.
I learned a lot over the last day or two. But yeah, the wall stuff you were mentioning was cool. Like the proxy jabs, the focuses, the down smashes. And he was just getting really aggressive with it too. As soon as he would break that second or bottom block, he was immediately sending a fireball, whatever. And yeah, it's definitely inspirational. It kind of reminds me of like what I was talking about with Ryo versus Raru as well, with just like they're playing against these characters that are so dangerous, but I feel like they're finding their aggression and they're finding where they can be confident without risking too much, which is definitely interesting. And I'm trying to take note of that just for a general thing, not even necessarily for like fighting those characters. Yeah, there was just some awesome stuff. I think whether you like it or not, you got to get used to seeing Hero too. I think most people think Hero's fine. Like, there's some cheesy stuff, but I think he's kind of rounded out as like a pretty interesting character. And I'm just really coming to appreciate Hero too. Not even just like a little bit before this tournament, but he's just a meta character. I think he's just a meta character at this point.
Bro, one of the things I was saying recently was, if I pulled up to a tournament, like a really large tournament, and they told me my next opponent played Hero, I would start freaking out immediately. Because I'm like, one, they put some hours into this dude. Like, all the Hero players who play Hero, they've played Hero since the beginning.
You gotta, I feel like.
And now, like, they have top reps that they can look at and take inspiration from, and like, you kind of know what to expect with Hero, but at the same time, that makes it even more dangerous, where it's like, oh, they have Psych up. I have to avoid, bloop, 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 and then the list just loads in. It's Flame Slash, I can't get Dash attacked, I can't get F smashed, I can't get, I mean, if they hit my shield already, I can't get back air. Like, I can't, there's all these like things just loading into my head, and then it's like, oh, well, do they have Accelerate too? And then do I engage with that? Or do I, like, try not to engage, and then they get Accelerate, and it's like, oh no, like, or if like you have like projectiles and stuff, it's like you want to play your zoner game plan, but then do you let them get bounced? Like, there's so many different things.
The questions you have to ask yourself immediately, because like, do you fight or do you let them buff? Like you're always picking a poison versus Hero if they're playing well, I think, which is super interesting from the Hero's perspective. Like, you can just start getting a crazy advantage just from 3-2-1 go. Like, as a Diddy Kong player, when I'm playing, I have to question, like, should I even pull banana at the start? Because he's going to get a buff, and I, like, is that worth it? Like, or if he gets bounced, was it worth it? Like,
right.
So I, like, matchups like that are very stressful, because usually, like, I'm not asking myself that many questions at 3-2-1 go. So yeah, it's crazy. I definitely want to, cause even when I play Sephiroth, it feels like the same thing. Like Marcus was just saying, like, you really got to pick your poison.
Yeah, I think we saw that too, Gavin, cause we were watching, you know, Hero against Steve, right?
It's a classic one. Like, I feel like it's one of the easiest examples of what we're talking about.
It's like an arms race. Like, I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to get fully buffed up. I'm Christmas colors, Celerottle, all the shit that kills you one hit with Hero. But the thing that was like, this is the conventional wisdom, right? Hero can do pretty well against Steve because Celerottle is great. You know, you can intercept Minecart, get the jump, all that shit. Zoom is good, obviously. Always going to be good. Is always broken. The range that Hero has is great, especially side B and his aerials and all that shit. It's good against Steve. And then obviously, if Steve's mining, you could sit there and you could farm up your buffs. But the thing I was seeing when they were playing is like Steve, his mining, that shit lasts forever. He's got until he uses those materials. He has those between stocks, between hits, everything. Like he just keeps them forever. And Hero, if you don't get the right hit or if you don't get anything out of the Accelerator, it's just gone. Like it's just gone. And then Steve can go back and can just mine again. So what I was seeing, at least, I appreciate like that idea that Hero can like buff himself up and get stronger to fight Steve. But it just feels like Steve's kind of Heroes is like a sprint, it feels like, and Steve's is like a marathon runner where he just like he's ready to keep going. Like, yep, all right, yeah. You hit me, you got your nice couple hits. Unless you killed me, I don't really care. And even if you did, I still have all this material that's going to affect the entirety of the match, right? What I'm saying is Steve guaranteed gets stuff that's going to help him no matter what. Hero gets buffs himself up. If he doesn't make anything of him, he just lets Steve get everything that he still has. And that's just something I kind of noticed.
I like what you're explaining. It feels like Steve specifically makes it feel like more of a sprint, where in a lot of normal matchups, it might feel more like an actual bonus. Whereas versus Steve, like if their defense is that strong, it might feel a little bit more negligible. Also kind of reminds me of like when Hero's getting overwhelmed by aggression rather than camping, because, you know, like if Fox is beating your ass, it starts to feel like the opportunities become a bit more desperate for Hero. Like when he gets them, he wants to make the most of them. But for Steve, it's like the opposite. Well, but it's still like a similar feeling, I think. So yeah, Hero definitely has to balance out like getting rid of the threatening the mine, getting rid of the walls, like using side B, using traditional sword moves, using the Accelerado to threaten those things I just listed. Like, it's a really good point from Haz for sure. And also, like, we were mentioning like how difficult it is to like, I feel like this has happened so many times where it's like everyone's so excited at the upset, like Aquila loss and winners, and then he just runs it all the way through it. And that's definitely deserves props, because he just fights his way through that bracket. Like he got his run back 3-1. Like I didn't watch it live, but from what Chris was just showing on the screen, it looked pretty solid for Aquila. And he was down 2-0 in grand finals versus Ashimo, almost wins 3 straight games. Like it's literally like some boss battle phase 3, phase 2 type stuff. Like you really gotta, I mean, it's like Haz said, like from Haz's perspective as someone cheering for Ashimo, like it's a very crazy moment when Ashimo actually finished the job, because Aquila is not going to make it easy. And at some points it looks like it's impossible too. So,
well, it's just Steve in that, I don't know how many characters are better than Steve in the last hit scenario either. Ryu is certainly not one of them. Like the way Ryu needs to hit Steve and then get a confirm out of it, and it needs to be the right hit, and you need to actually nail the hit confirm like he did with the double up till up air. And it's like Steve, here comes, it's almost like Cloud in a way, where it's like, here comes the back airs, right? Here comes Anvil, but even more, here comes, you know, the Home Alone traps, right? Coming through, Minecart, Anvil, everything. It's just like, bro just spawns win conditions, which is insane. And then you have Ryu, humble Ryu, trying to make his way in and get the KO.
Steve has all that and a grab that kills. Like,
yeah.
Like,
depending on which character you play, two grabs that can kill, depending on what character you play.
Sometimes F throw is like just checkmate. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? F-throw, that angle is nasty.
It's
back throw into the block, which isn't gonna happen as often. Like it's usually the back throw on the block, as silly as it is, it's definitely on the
opponent. Player error. Yep.
Yeah. But
wait, speaking of blocks, can we talk about and up throws? Can we talk about Ashimo? That up throw, by the way? I didn't know that. I'll keep it a buck. I knew Ryu's and probably Ken's, their throws have weird properties on hit, because in doubles, I've seen Ryu's down throw just break a shield. I don't know if you guys all knew that one. But that up throw, yes, the I second hip, what the fuck? Like, it, I knew it was strong, but not like that.
I see
that
it was... in doubles, and I knew about it, but there's really not many scenarios where it comes up in competitive singles. It was so funny when it happened, because it looked like both players just kept it moving. Like, no one was like... Like, it was just a like grand final, so like they didn't have... Like, no one has time to... to talk about that. It's like, yeah, just keep it moving, last stock, grand finals. But like, yeah, that was the first time I've seen it come up in singles, and it was such a crucial kill because I think it evened up the game. Like, you're not going to get an easy kill off of Steve. Like, the fact that he, like, that Rio was able to kill at 140 with a grab like that really put him back in the game. I actually think Aquila won that game, but yeah, it's crazy. I just haven't seen that come up in singles. Like, I knew about it. So I guess Ken's down throw and up throw do the same thing in doubles.
I think so, yeah. The other thing is...
You at least comparable? Pictures. Yeah.
I think two things. Ultimate, doubles, people don't care about it as much. The other thing, those characters in doubles, people don't play them as much because the auto turnaround kind of adjustment.
They're very different. So. Ken's back throw is fully invincible. And, like, it only comes up in doubles, really, but... during that whole animation where he's spinning with the other character, he's invincible the whole time.
You know the name of that throw? What they call it?
No.
The Hell Wheel. Hell Wheel.
The such invincible like a... Hell Wheel. That was at 125, actually.
Dude.
He
and no raid.
150 player, like, it looked like.
He knows to do that. Like, yeah, of course. Like, character mastery, bro. Like, stuff like that makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Where it's like, any... Maybe not any, but I feel like most Ryus would see that situation and do back throw. They'd be like, all right, off stage. Bro said, this is stock.
Right, because you might be afraid. Like, if you up throw, maybe Steve gets something out of it and you're in a minecart or some shit. Like, maybe he techs her, I don't know, dude, or slides in a weird way.
Like, did Aquila miss the tech type of thing? Like, was it, was there anything?
It could have been the
back throw. It might be active enough where it beats the tech, yeah. It might have just been checkmate.
It was also he spot dodged.
There was no tech. There was no tech.
Well, bro, can he tech it?
I don't think it matters.
Like a million miles an hour. Really?
You think it matters?
I don't think it matters. No.
Oh, okay. I don't think so. I think that was checkmate.
You're saying the leg kick from the up throw is so active it would catch a neutral tech?
I don't know. I know Steve has quick moves, but I think they might get hit regardless.
I think that's it. Dude, he's so tall. His hurt box is still like right there.
The kick is really quick. I wonder if the invincibility from the tech would win.
Nah, that shit was true. Goat knows. Come on.
Even if it isn't, he probably just jabs.
I mean, you still go for that every time, in my
opinion. Yeah.
You still go for that.
He probably texts and gets jabbed. See ya. It's the same thing.
Dude, at that situation, I was thinking that, like, there is a situation where Steve kills Ryu for doing that. If it isn't as, like,
yeah,
maybe if it isn't as tight as it looks, yeah.
You're talking about Meister? Hold up now. Oh, hold on.
He had a very impressive trip to Japan, in my opinion.
He did, yeah. I agree.
He gate kept hurt plenty of times.
Crazy.
Yeah, he beat hurt like two or three times, I think.
Threw him on Sunday, too.
Yeah.
Very clean.
Definitely going to come back stronger than ever, I think.
We lost to Raru before, so I think that was a run back, yeah.
Yeah, I think he got fourth.
Yes.
Using an Aquila twice.
Was this one a S plus or P tier?
That is a good question. I'm going to assume it's a P tier. Like,
that's crazy. Either way, it was a big tournament. So
it was an awesome really good job tournament. That's GOAT right there. He played amazing. Yeah, dude. It was just... They had three streams. I think it was four, actually. It was just, I love when they do, like, it's like quad streaming, but they're all their own unique streams, which is cool. I know that's, more setup and whatever. Yeah. It's four streams, which is harder to do. But fuck, I love that, dude. That was one of my favorite tournaments I've ever watched, period, in my time in Smash. Not even Ultimate or anything. It was, I had so much fucking fun. Like,
it wasn't every set. Close to a P tier. Not even close.
Well,
it was barely an S tier.
Oh, it was S tier. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
It's pretty close to a P tier.
The vibes of it made it look like it was a big tournament, but not the biggest tournament.
So. They should bump it up because Ashimo won. They should be like, you know what, actually?
4,000 points away from being a P tier.
What does that mean, though?
Yeah.
An S tier is 5,000 points.
And a P tier is 9,000, then?
Mm-hmm.
How many points is Gavin worth? Put him in a bracket.
7 million
points. I don't remember, man. It's somewhere.
Oh, sorry. I thought you had the form up.
And I do have the form, but I don't. Oh, player values. Here we go. Gavin is 350.
Dang. You need a couple
of Gavins. The highest value is 350.
Oh.
For the top five, top 10?
Yes, top five.
That's pretty nice. That's pretty cool.
W. Gotta get you to wavelength.
So are all my locals, like if I go to a local tournament, does it become a...
I don't think they count locals.
Oh, okay.
I'm not 100% sure on that.
Imagine what does that mean, though? We're asking the real questions. I can just
make any tournament.
I can't remember. Because there was a... I remember there being like a huge debate about if locals after...
They definitely
like
counted last majors, time.
When like... if like a major, like a Genesis happened and people went to whatever locals afterward... If they counted or not. I don't remember what the outcome was.
My locals definitely counted last season.
I feel kind of dumb for saying it, but I feel like if players are there and they're playing their hardest, it should probably count in some way for the rankings. That's my simple opinion about it. Is that fair? Like, invitationals, check. Locals, if they're playing mains and shit, check. I don't know.
Yeah, like, I feel like it becomes a little strange in terms of, like, it's all kind of, like, made up.
Yep.
Like,
it is
like the effort involved or like what quality of it feels very like just made up by people. Like it's just not.
Some of it makes sense though. Like if there's more entrants in a tournament, getting a good win is kind of better because you have to work harder to get there. Probably. Maybe not necessarily. Like if someone gets underseeded and they play hurt round one and they beat him or some shit, it's like they didn't work harder. How is that any better than beating him at a local or something? Is the implication that people try harder at majors or something?
That's a weird thing to like add to a ranking because it's completely made up.
Yep.
By people.
I like conversations like this, so I like talking about this shit because it is very interesting.
It reminds me of the conversation of, dude, I go into rants on my Twitch stream over stuff like this.
Okay.
Someone will come into my chat and be like, hey, I'm new to the game. Should I, like, what character should I play? Like, someone told me to play this character, and I'll always be like, play who you want, and that's it. Like, the whole Mario teaches you fundamentals, or Lucina teaches you fundamentals, that is all made up. It's not real. It's just not real. Like, these are all made up by people. All these, like, rules of Smash. Like, it's just not, it doesn't exist. Pit doesn't teach you the game better than anyone else. Like, you just play who you want.
Definitely doesn't. That character sucks.
Whoa. No, he's all right. He's good. Whoa, he's good.
He's pretty good. He's all right.
He's nice. Pretty good. I think Pit is good. Right.
Good is a crazy word.
But yeah, anyway. I'm always going into those rants because I feel like it just adds weird labels and weird limits to, like, weird ceilings to people. Like these preconceived ideas just aren't necessary to a new player at all, in my opinion. That's all. Small rant. That's a little off
topic. I used to get mad, especially in Smash 4, because that question would come up a lot when people would be like, bro, just play Marth or just play Mario. And I'm like, bro, do you understand that Mario as a character is doing combos from down tilt, up tilt, down throw that like most characters don't have access to? So your brain starts to become wired to look for these close engagements. If you say that, and then you say Lucina teaches the same thing that Mario does, it's like, no, she doesn't. Like her outer shield game is different. You play a lot more defensively. You have a disjoint that some characters aren't used to. You have to figure out how to play without a reflector. Mario has a reflector. He also has a projectile. Like, there's so many different things you have to learn when you're playing the game. And when people are like, bro, just play this character. They're fundies. I'm like, I mean... sure, like some, but like that's not the character isn't gonna help you learn the fundamentals of the game. Yeah. Like the fundamentals of the game are the fundamentals of the game. You can learn them with any character. I do think that like there are characters that can skip a lot of fundamentals of the game, and that's why some people say, like, some characters are more fundies than others. But, like, I don't know, man. Like, Mario's a cornball. Yeah, Mario's fundies until he hits you with back air grab and you die, and air grab, you die, like...
Back airs the whole game, minus two, minus two, minus two, minus two. Oh, I hit you, time to die.
I think it's
not even about that, but I feel like it genuinely makes the new player's experience more convoluted than it would be if they didn't look at the internet at all while playing Smash. Like, it's just, like I said, it's all made up and it's just pointless. Like, they'll be like, yeah, I'm going to play Mario and Lucina, and then 3 months from now, when I learn the proper fundamentals, I'm going to pick my favorite character. It's like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
That's so interesting, because I usually feel like people, like, do you guys hear that a lot, that people don't know what character to play as? I feel like that's not really.
Well,
there's so many.
That's so interesting. So
dude, I
know, but I feel like that's the number one thing that brings you to Smash. Well, I want to play as Snake.
But there's
like,
so many occasional
people that get in just because they want to be competitive. Like, they get into it and they just want to start going to tournaments and they're looking for advice. And, like, I get it. Like, I'm definitely here to help people when I'm streaming. Like, I like answering questions. Like, but, like, I hate all this, like, made up labels that, like, they're just a waste of time.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I just think it's interesting because that's, like, to me, one of the lower priority questions that people might have. But I guess it depends on, because they might view you guys as like, oh, you're a top player. Tell me who should I pick to win, or like some shit.
It's weird because they're basically asking for like a right and wrong to a question that doesn't have a right or wrong answer, in the sense of like they want to know like what's morally cool and like what's considered cringe and like what, like, because fundamentals are looked at as like skill, like above all else or something, and like, so any character that's fundamental, they think they're doing it the right way and they're learning the game the right way, whatever. And it's just, it's all made up, and it's just play who you want to play and it'll help you much more than putting all this effort into, because a lot of the time all of this effort is like you're not even playing the game, like arguing over matchup spreads and what characters are cool and lame and what characters are fundamentally sound or not. And like, you could just play the game instead.
It's interesting too, because I feel like there are a lot of characters that, like, there's obviously agreed upon kind of lame quote unquote characters or kind of cool quote unquote characters.
Yeah.
Not like, I'm hyped Ryu just won a super major or an S tier or whatever we're going to call it. Great. Some people might fucking hate Ryu and be like, dude, no, that is not fundies. He has auto turnaround. He's bullshit. Like, all this stuff. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I don't know. That's so interesting, man. Because I feel like with Smash, it's so easy to get into because the choice of who you want to play is fucking kind of easy. Like, you just, this is it. Like, this is cool. Like, this is who I like. But I guess if people think about what you're saying, that's a whole different question. Well, I don't know, man. That's interesting.
Well, yeah, look at it like, okay, so think about how we even, like, started the episode, right? We're, like, talking about Ryu and Ashimo, and then we're like, that dude has fundies. Like, it's not the character that has the fundamentals, it's the player.
It's true.
And I think that's something that people are missing a lot of times. Like, if people don't even, like, if you ask someone, like, what are fundies, 9 times out of 10, they're either, one, not going to have an answer, or two, they're going to have a different answer than the next person you ask, what are fundies? Like,
when you say, like, it kind of just stops and starts there a lot of the time. Like, it's just, like, it, like, for us three, it's just coming from three people that have been around for a while, have a lot of experience, and it's just, like, a small eye test. Like, it starts and ends there. It's not a big deal.
Let's settle it right now. What are fundies? Come on, got a platform.
We're not gonna be.
Hey, come on, Marcus.
It's simply just an eye test, and you either got it or you don't.
That's the best way, like, if we were to put like a label to it or like words to it, but see, I don't want to do that because then people are gonna like take it for what it is. But
that's true.
I guess like the best way is like there are parts of the game that like are gonna happen no matter what, right? That are like fundamental to the way that the game works.
Yeah.
And you like players just need to be able to know that. So like ledge trapping, how to get off the ledge. And that happens almost in every match, but there are characters that don't deal with that. So you have to learn other parts. Right. Potentially edge guarding, like juggling, like how do you position yourself in neutral? How good is your spacing on some moves on shield, stuff like that. Cause sometimes like moves are simply safe because of the distance between you and your opponent after they hit the shield. Like the frame data wise, they aren't safe, but the spacing makes it safe. So things like that. I wouldn't say like pressing forward air and neutral air and down tilt on Lucina over and over again makes you a fundamental player. Like I would not say that.
I think like one word that I think of a lot with fundies is like precision is something that comes to mind, because I think of like the opposite, like what's not fundies, and mashing is not fundies, right? Like mashing, we all agree, like mashing buttons, not fundies.
I can't say that. I think
it's hard for me to come up with an answer. The first thing that comes to mind for me is
their gameplay
is very like natural and nothing is like forced, whether it's offensive or defensive. Like it looks like they're very prepared for things and they're not like forcing their game plan on you. Like something that Leo said like around a year ago, maybe a little less than a year ago to me in a conversation that really stuck out, was something he likes is when two game plans look like they're combining with each other when two people are fighting, rather than two game plans are clashing. And I thought that was very interesting, because he was saying like that's a reason why he thinks Ultimate is a little like not great sometimes, is because a lot of the time it's like clashing rather than like combining and like flowing. And like we would have to get into more specifics about what that means, but that's the first thing that comes to mind. Like the like someone with strong fundamentals, it looks like things flow naturally. Like Marcus said, the universal phases of Smash being comfortable for them is definitely huge. And I just, no brute force, like nothing too ugly, like not double button into spot dodge, or their main approach is like a roll in, or their, you know, their risk reward is all out of whack. Like it has to look very clean, very, you know, natural, not brute force. Like that's the first things that come to mind for me.
I don't know. It's like, I just think about if somebody is playing like Fox or they're playing Roy and they are just like down tilt your shield and then they do jab or something like that, or they do forward air down tilt, or they do like, you know what I mean? Like they like do moves back to back. They're mashing.
Yeah.
But it's like, if it's intentional, like, all right, I do forward air down tilt, and then next time they do forward air and they like wait and see what happens, or like they do down tilt and they wait and see what happens. Like a lot of times they are mashing, but they have the experience and like to know like, oh, in this tempo I break it here, and like this is where I start to look for a defensive option or something like that. Or this is where like I'm so plus on shield, I'm just gonna press one more time. So maybe I do like forward air down tilt, and because I think Roy's down tilt's like -4 or something like that, they're like, well, I'm really plus, like I can press one more and just kind of see like how they're feeling about how many times like I'm hitting their shield. Like I don't know. And I think the same thing with like very defensive characters, like when Pac-Man or like Min-Min is sitting across the stage like just throwing stuff at you, like as long as they're doing it with like intention and like navigating the way that the opponent is playing around it, especially Snake, like you can see it very clearly with like Hurt, right? Like the way he places his grenades and throws his grenades, he's trying to force you to do something or be in a certain area. You see him all the time. He'll like throw a few grenades, he'll inch his way toward you, you jump, you double jump to like avoid something else, and then he just catches you landing with a dash attack. Like it's very intentional and deliberate. But there are other players who are just throwing the grenade because they're like, bro, Snake grenade is crazy. And they don't understand, like, what could potentially happen with the counterplay if the other opponent is aware of it.
I think that's the difference between mashing. It feels like, to me, the implication is there's no intention behind it other than I will press this button because it's fast slash good. Like, there's no I'm going to hit it in a different rhythm. I'm going to look for patterns. I'm going to do this. I'm just going to mash. I'm going to hit A because it's a strong option. So, like, there's a huge difference between, again, this comes down to player character differences. You can play a mashy character, but you're not going to get far if you don't have fundies and people have counterplay to your good mash. You need to be able to bring it to the next level, right?
For me, my potential association with something like that not being fundamentally sound would be because that player is trying to force a specific phase of the game specifically. And they are clearly desperate to get to that phase of the game when they're outside of it. Like, it's not necessarily the buttons they're choosing or how many buttons they're pressing. It's more so that when they're not in that phase of the game, they clearly aren't comfortable and they're just forcing the next phase. Like, when, like, Luigi's an easy example, unfortunately. Sorry, Luigi. But if a Luigi player is just rolling into you constantly, they're not strong fundamentally because they're clearly uncomfortable in that phase of the game, and they just want to get to the phase where they are threatening a kill. That's the best example I can think of for what Haz is talking about. But yeah, at the end of the day, I just feel like the whole fundamental thing, it's just an eye test for like experienced players to be like, that player's nice.
Like, yeah, I think it's kind of like a feel thing too. Like, yeah. You got it or you don't. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You got fundies or you don't.
Yeah. I mean, you can gain fundies, but like, it's just a certain vibe. Like, I think it tends to get weird because a lot of other people will see people using these phrases and they'll just start throwing them out there or attaching them to characters without like much else beyond that. And it just, like, a lot of stereotypes start to exist and players start to think that they have to do the certain things to learn the game. And I think that's where it gets really strange. But yeah, it's like, I don't know. At the end of the day, like I said, for me, it's just I'm watching a player and it's just a compliment. That's it. That's all it is.
Fundies.
Fundies are fundies. That's it. We're locking it in.
One of the best terms ever made. Shouts to Tums.
Tums. Dude, I think of him every time. Goat.
Bundies.
Cavalier Clash, we watched a bit of that as well. Your region again, man. Shouts to Syrup. Taking it through.
My region is just really good.
That dude's Phantom, consistent.
He is consistent. That is a great, great word for Syrup.
Phantom?
Gavin? He wins.
You know Phantom, right? Third place?
Yep.
Ridiculous. What? Steve? DK?
Zomba not doing too well was genuinely freaked me out. When I checked the bracket and saw I was looking for the bracket because I heard he got seventh. And the first thing I thought was he didn't go Rob. Like, that's just, it's a compliment to Zomba, right? Like, I just, at that tournament, I would have expected nothing less than second. So, yeah, that's crazy. Jazzo getting the win over Zomba is impressive. Where's that Sonic at?
I know.
That was crazy.
He went game five against Syrup, though, with Ken. Ken Steve the whole
and
time.
And then Ryu doing well versus Aquila.
Dude.
What a good weekend for Haz.
For her, yeah.
Not for Oshima.
I really did. This weekend was about me. Yeah, exactly. This is like, as far as Smash weekends have gone, man, holy shit, I was.
This is like when Light won SmashCon for Chuck. Bro was over the moon. I remember that. He was just, bro, Light won. Get it.
Speaking of SmashCon, something I realized while we were talking about it is that Oshimo is going to be at the Luminosity Invitational this weekend because he qualified.
Right off Right off the W.
Fucking W, dude. That's pretty cool. Maybe
that's a good point.
It's good for him because maybe we can become friends now. And then I need to find a new favorite top player that's not my friend. Yeah, that is great. And then Zap obviously qualified too, but the lineup is really, really good. And I'll be there. I don't know if this has been announced yet. There's a few days to the event, so I'm going to say it. So, Spargo, I'm casting with a lot of the usual suspects you guys will recognize. But you got Spargo, Shutan, Tweak, Shiny Mark, Gluto, Meister Cola, Sonic Shattuck, Light, Zomba, MK Leo, Mars, DeBuzz, and then Ashibo and Zap.
Some Smash Bros. Some Smash Bros.
It's a good lineup.
If y'all watch our Patreon episode, if y'all watch our Patreon episode, honestly, that's not a bad lineup. Like,
actually, we need to do Patreon today too. By the way, Tweak Talks on Patreon.
I'm probably just gonna do mod review. It's okay. Yeah.
Was last week? Was last week when we did our own? Yeah. We created our own invitational.
Our most recent thing was.
It was fun.
Players we would invite to our invitational were hosting. Just a fun little idea. But yeah, back to the Luminosity one.
That is a
there's some cool storylines there. Meister, first tournament back from Japan. Ashimo is fresh off the W.
Akula hasn't won an event. Sure.
And some players we haven't seen in a while in NA, like Gluto. some cool stuff for sure.
Dude,
and Gluto actually had a rough tournament.
Shattuck won the previous one, and he's there. Stuff like that.
Yeah, Gluto kind of coming in off a tough tournament. What's up, Mark?
Oh, yeah.
Gluto did win the other one not too long ago, though. Yeah.
Like, Sonics versus Shuton run back.
True.
Spargo winning
Sonic's everything. Sonic wants it, bro. I love that shit. Yeah, I love his Twitter beefs. They're so
Spargo forgetting how to lose, for sure.
Yeah, Spargo forgetting how to lose. But the last person he lost to is at the event, being Akola. Akola hasn't won anything as I'm aware of.
It's not Akola. It's Cola.
Oh, I thought you said Akola.
Cola.
Oh, yeah. Akola's not going.
No, I was like, bro, this is.
Sorry.
I'm hoping to play Spargo. It's been crazy. Too long.
When's the last time y'all played? Was it Terra?
Isn't it like Terra?
I think so.
Well, you know what happened at Terra.
No, I don't actually. Fill me in.
Oh, well, there was this one moment when you were playing against Spargo, actually. And there was some good commentary, award-winning commentary actually occurred over in Paris.
Let's just fast forward to the trophy.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Actually, gotta change my profile picture. True, thanks. Right, I'm doing it now.
I guess that about does it. I actually really enjoyed this episode today. Thanks, y'all.
I like when it just becomes a conversation. Like, this happens all the time with us, like before and after the call. Yeah. So I like when this happens.
But yeah, we did mention Patreon not too long ago. We've been doing a bit of a mix between my personal VOD review and our usual stuff. Thanks for supporting it as always. If you're interested, feel free to check it out. Patreon.com/TweakTalks. Our next upload will probably just be more VOD review as I prepare for the Luminosity Smash Invitational. But yeah, thank you so much. Hope everyone has a good day. Thanks for supporting as always.
See you.